Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Welcome to Engage for Success Radio, and this is show number 44. I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm a social media HR consultant working with the Engage for Success movement, leading on digital and social media. The Engage for Success movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there's a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and shine a light on good practice, and we're widely supported across the UK involving the public, private and third sectors. If you go to our website, engageforsuccess.org, and use the orange button in the top right corner to join in, then you'll get onto our mailing list. We sent our first proper all singing all dancing newsletter out today, so do join up so that you get those in future. They'll be going out monthly. If you tweet, then please share your thoughts using our hashtag, which is #E4S, and that's the number 4, and you can join in the conversation, and come and join us on our LinkedIn groups to continue the discussion. There's a number of groups on there. Just do a search for Engage Success, or go to our website. On the right-hand side of the homepage, then there's a Connect With Us section, and all our social media links are there. So today I'm excited to have Karen Bolo, the co-author of a new book called Engage, Your Step-by-Step Guide to Creating a Workplace That You, Your Co-Workers and Your Customer Loves, or rather Customers Love. I've got a typo in my introduction. Karen is known as the Evolution Expert and the Chief Joybringer, and those titles are actually quite appropriate given Karen's life both professionally and personally. With over 15 years' experience working with people and companies going through transitions, executive mentoring, and more recently inspirational speaking, she knows what it takes to get the most out of life. And she's here to talk about how to maximize the potential of your company through people engagement, why our old ways of doing business aren't working anymore, and how you can create an amazing company. So please welcome Karen Bolo.
Thank you, Jill. I'm so excited to be here.
It's great to have you here, and it's been a big week leading up to today. We had lots of activity last week with our 1 year on, including a presentation that was at the RSA. We had Matthew Taylor talking about employee engagement as part of his annual lecture. So lots of things happened last week, but that was probably the highlight of our week, and people can get information about that if they go to the website. So today, Karen, we're going to be talking about your book, and we're going to be talking about engagement, obviously, as we usually do, and also about the way that the business world is changing and how the way that we used to do business is changing, and the old stuff isn't really working anymore. So tell me a bit about your book. Tell me about why you think engagement is so important.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because I really look at people being disengaged as a bit of a disease that we have right now, and it's kind of crept up on us and taken us all a bit by surprise, and all the studies that are coming out now are starting to show the ramifications of what's going on when people are really unhappy or, you know, not fully engaged at work. I'm sure, you know, the listeners and everybody kind of related to Engage for Success have heard the latest studies from Gallup basically saying that 71% of employees are either disengaged or actively disengaged. And it's really ending up costing companies a huge amount in lost productivity. And it's a pressing issue that is becoming a global issue for, you know, it's not just the UK, it's not just the US, it's really in all sorts of different countries. And basically, it's something that needs to be dealt with. And so we ended up writing this book. It was a bit of a journey to get to writing this book, but basically, you know, when we found some of these figures and how people are so unhappy at work, my background is executive search. I've been working with individuals and companies going through transition for a number of years. And basically, you know, finding out how many people are really dissatisfied at work and the ramifications that that has, we just started doing research and felt like, wow, you know, this is information that we can take back into the corporate world. And because we've got an answer, we've got a solution. It's just basically about focusing on the people and what do you need to do to really maximize the potential of a company through people engagement.
And just give us a bit of a flavor for the sort of format of the book, if you like. So you talk about research. How have you presented that information to us in the book?
Yeah, the book is actually kind of divided into two parts. The first part is about a lot of the research, the global trends that are affecting everybody in business right now. So that, you know, a lot of what we talk about in the book is not new. It's things that have been around for a long time. What is new is what's happening in the world with, you know, the rapid technology changes that are happening on an accelerated rate, the changes in our demographics. There's a lot of global trends that are basically making kind of the old ways of doing business not really working anymore, and people who aren't understanding these global trends are kind of spinning their wheels, struggling and trying to figure out why isn't this working anymore. So the first part of the book covers that type of research and really what the reality of, you know, the figures of, you know, basically the lack of disengagement. I mean, it's the Gallup study showed that it was costing $550 billion per year in lost productivity in the U.S. alone, and, you know, the figures seem to be pretty consistent across the globe in lost productivity and disengagement. So it's a huge issue that's coming up. So the first part of the book talks about that, and then we've basically outlined, in the book we feature 15 what we call amazing companies. And these are companies that have been doing really well over the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. And why are they doing well? What are they doing differently? We kind of, that's what we set us on this mission, to figure out why are certain companies doing well when everyone else is really struggling. You know, I mean, it's been tough economic times for a lot of companies, and a lot of people have been facing a lot of issues. But not everybody has. So we were looking at what are they doing differently. And I co-wrote the book with my husband, Sergio, and basically what we found is that these companies that are doing well, they focus in on the culture. And so in the first part of the book, we highlight five different cultural keys that companies are working with that have been consistent throughout these companies that are basically modeling new business models that work into doing business with this new business mindset. And then the second half of the book is really the step-by-step process of how to get there. What do you need to do? How do you maximize the potential through people engagement? And, you know, what can you do to create that within your own organization, basically?
Mm-hmm. So you talked about trends and how those are affecting business, and you talked about demographics and change with technology and so on. Tell us a bit more about that, and perhaps share some examples if you have from the case studies that you did.
Well, there are three key trends that are happening on a global basis. One, as I mentioned, was the accelerated change with technology. You know, social media, the empowerment of the consumer, the individual. A lot of businesses, we call it's called the dematerialization of industries, where because technology is empowering the individual so much, the creator of content, whether it's music or books or whatever the case might be, they're able to get to the consumer directly without having a lot of the people or companies or structures in the middle. And so basically, if you look at, you know, just the progress of music, we've gone from, you know, records and tapes and CDs and all that to now Spotify, and basically the artist is putting their music online and people are having access to it very quickly. So it's cut out a lot of the middlemen, and that's changing, you know, industries all over the world. And it's happening on different paces. So that's kind of one example there. With the demographic changes, we've got two kind of different elements going on. One is you've got the baby boomers that are getting ready to just have this mass exodus over the next 5-10 years from the workforce as they're retiring. We do see that, you know, people are working longer. People are living longer. So you've got all of a sudden in the workplace also, you know, four different generations, and all these generations have very different value sets. They look at the world very differently. The other part for the demographic changes is that 50% of the workforce is going to be the millennials within the next, you know, year or two, basically. According to the Harvard Business Review, it was by 2014 that 50% of the global workforce will be born between 1977 and 1997. So the Generation Y, these millennials, look at the world totally different because they have been raised with this technology. I mean, for them, they're very open, they're very transparent, everything is online, everything is, you know, tweetable and postable and all those types of things. So it's they're driving a lot of the change, and they are not motivated particularly by money and all that. They're looking for very purpose-driven companies. So smart companies right now are really being active and figuring out, you know, how can we attract the next generation of leaders into our organization. And the last one is really a talent mismatch, where the jobs that are in most demand right now are not being trained. So you've got a huge amount of unemployment out there and people that are trained in things that are no longer relevant. And you've got people leaving university who are possibly have spent 4 years studying and what they're learning isn't even relevant anymore. So they're coming into the workforce and not becoming employable. And then you've got positions. I mean, one of the biggest in-demand positions right now is a social media manager. And no one's training for that. You don't go to university or anything for that. And this is going to continue to change as we, move forward with technology. Students entering the university, within a four-year university, they're getting trained for jobs that don't exist, for challenges that we don't know are going to be in, the problems aren't in place yet. And by the time they graduate, what they learn the first year is obsolete.
Yeah.
So there's some major things happening that are really affecting
So why do you think engagement is the answer? I mean, obviously, as part of the movement, we're all talking about employee engagement being really important. From your perspective and from your research, why is employee engagement the answer to dealing with these changes and perhaps anticipating them, I guess?
Well, we looked at the companies, and the companies that got on our radar that were doing well are companies that focus in on the employees. So they've shifted from being very profit-driven companies to being very purpose-driven companies. And just that little shift in focusing in on, making sure that their employees are happy. They, for example, there's a company called HCL Technologies. It's an Indian based company. It's a global company, but based in India, and it's technology-driven. And basically, back in 2007, they turned the pyramid upside down and said, well, let's put the employees first and the customer second. And no one really, has really been working that way before. But what they realize is if we focus in on the employees and make sure they're happy and they're doing well and they have all the resources they need, they're going to take really good care of our customers. And the company just boomed. I mean, they just started expanding and growing globally, and when everyone else in the industry was downsizing and, cutting back, they were expanding and growing quite a bit. And we see that pretty consistently with all the amazing companies we've looked at. We've got Virgin and John Lewis from the UK. We've got Tom Shoe, Zappos, Southwest Airlines, Ben & Jerry's, Patagonia, Puma in Germany. So a number of different companies, and they're all really focusing in on taking care of the employees and what a difference that makes. And I think basically the reason is because when you've got employees that are engaged, what happens is that you end up having higher productivity, and that obviously brings about higher profits. So it's a little bit of a shift of focus. Instead of focusing on the profits all the time and actually, creating this environment of scarcity or fear that, you might lose a customer, you might have competition, all those things, you focus to the employees, making sure, are you happy, are you doing your job well, what can we do to support you, how can you, enjoy the culture, and that ripples over into, them taking really good care of your customers and creating an environment where they're excited and happy to be at. Makes a huge difference. I mean, in the days when I was working with headhunting, I would walk through clients and I could get a sense of the culture and the people that would fit in there. I mean, the culture is actually, there's a tangible energy in an organization. And you can tell when it's very fear-driven. You can tell when there's a lot of people that are, very nervous. Are they going to be let go? Are they afraid to make any mistakes? Or it's, very creative and innovative and exciting and growing. And there's two very different feelings that you get walking through different types of organizations like that.
And you mentioned the, you described them as five cultural keys that you talk about in your book. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so as we were looking at these 15 companies, we kind of filtered it down to what do they have in common. And one is, obviously, I mean, they all are very conscious about creating a culture that their employees can thrive. And how they're doing that is basically what we have defined as our five cultural keys. And the first one is collaboration. And they all start with C. That's why we call them the five Cs. Trying to make it easier for people to remember. But the first one is collaboration, and basically that's taking it to the next level beyond teamwork. They're in environments where they understand that working together is greater for the whole. It's a very family environment. Oftentimes you feel like you know, the way that these people, employees, describe the culture, it's like an extension of their family. They feel like they're working with friends. And there are studies that show that if someone has a friend at work, they're actually going to do better, stay longer, and be more productive. And so they create an environment where they just are really supportive of each other. The second cultural key is creativity. And that's really where you look within the organization to allow ideas and innovation to come from within. You know, it's an environment where you support new ideas, you acknowledge it, you are able to just allow the employees to be empowered to be able to come up with the ideas and give suggestions, because oftentimes that's where the best ideas come from your front lines. And so many times in organizations, people don't listen there, you know, and so they don't feel like they matter. They don't feel like their work is so important. And so they just come in and check out and do their, you know, the minimum amount instead of really being engaged and being excited about it. Yeah. The third is connection. And this is really important, and it's on two levels, because you've got the internal connection to basically the employees, and that's really where you start to define the values of the organization, define and make sure they're matched really well with the employees, the values that the employees have, because I've seen too often where people feel like they have to be a different person at work. So you're at home, and you're one personality, and you come into work, and you're a totally different personality. Well, you know, you're not being authentic to who you are in one of those places, and then the question is, where are you not being true to yourself? But when you come to an environment where you can be who you really are and people support that and, you know, you do really well there, you're being authentic to yourself and you're able to really flourish and do quite well. So it's the connection internally through the values, and the connection externally is with the consumers and with the customers and with the market. And because technology is changing so much, it's a lot about communication and how are you getting your message out. And, again, it's the values. How are you communicating the values? Because the consumer market now is looking to connect with companies that they feel they can support and believe in. Very huge. You know, it's not just about the product or service. It's what's behind that. The fourth cultural key is celebration. And, you know, whenever I speak in publicly and in front of groups, I always ask, you know, who in here could have more fun in their life? And always, 99% of the hands go up. You know, everybody needs to have more fun. And when we're working, we spend, you know, majority of our waking hours, more than we spend with our friends and family, at work. And so if you have an environment where you can have fun and you can enjoy it and you can celebrate it, you know, companies that have that, they foster that and they recognize, they give appreciation, they value their employees, and it shows. And that basically kind of takes you into this upward spiral of positive positive environment for your employees, which creates an environment where they can thrive. And then the last one is contribution. And contribution is basically the giving back on some level. You know, all these amazing companies we looked at, they either have a nonprofit arm of their organization or they've got giving built into their business model. So my favorite example for this is Tom's Shoes, which, you know, basically it's a smaller American company, but it was founded on the concept of you buy a pair of shoes and a pair of shoes will be donated to a child in need who, you know, doesn't have shoes in a developing country. And this has grown, and it's a phenomenal company, and basically they have a much lower budget on their marketing because their customers are such raving fans and their employees are such raving fans that they spread the word through word of mouth. And, you know, their contribution is built into their model. And the contribution is basically that higher purpose. And what happens is that when you've got a company that has this bigger purpose, the employees feel like what they do matters. It gives them significance. And that's partly a big reason as to why people feel disengaged or not happy with their work, because they don't feel like, you know, who cares what they do? It's not really significant. It doesn't make a difference. But when they're in a company or an environment where it does, it makes a huge difference. So, again, the productivity goes up and the profits go up. So that's the long and the short of it, of the five keys that we have in the book.
And so if those five keys aren't in place and therefore there are these issues, what sort of effect is that having outside of the workplace for those people?
You know, I call it the ripple effect, because if someone isn't happy at work, where we are spending the bulk of our time, it has an effect on your health. It has an effect on your family life. But on a macro perspective, it has an effect on societies and nations. So if you've got, you know, just look at the figures from the latest Gallup study. 71% of people are actively disengaged or disengaged at work. It's costing companies $550 billion annually per year. You know, the studies have shown that it's costing over $300 billion in healthcare costs because of stress. And if you're, you know, not feeling like what your work is valuable or important or whatever, it's causing stress on you, stress is the biggest cause for so many diseases out there. So it has this effect on the healthcare system. It has an effect on the family, how you are as a parent, and then also into, you know, society and companies. Companies are the growth. It's the motor that drives a nation forward by creating jobs and giving people, you know, meaning in their life, basically. So when you've got companies that are working at, you know, 25-30% capacity, it has a huge effect. So basically, this disengagement is a disease, and we need to deal with it. And I'm so glad for the work for you guys, what you guys are doing as well, because, you know, it's clearly a topic that a lot of people are realizing needs to be addressed, and how do we address it?
Yeah.
And just to have the conversations is fantastic.
Yeah. And those companies that do see it as important and are doing something about it, why do you think they're doing that? I mean, I guess a lot of what you've said is the reasoning behind it. Do you have any further insight into that?
You know, I think the way that I look at the world is basically that it's systems. You know, an individual, we have a body, it's a system. A corporation, it's a system of people working together. A nation, it's a system. All of these are systems. And when you do the inner work and, you know, basically work within the organization. So the second part of the book, we actually outline what we call the 6P process. It's 6 P's to make it easy for people to remember. You do the internal work, which is focusing in on the purpose, the passion, and the people. And you work on that and get that all in place, then you're going to have the effects of that, or the results of that will be higher productivity, higher profits, and then the ability to have a more positive impact in the world. And it really comes down to, you know, we're at a point in place now where we need to shift our business mindset. We are able to use business as a force of good, and how can we do that? And it comes down to, you know, looking instead of just the bottom line of the profits, look at the triple bottom line of looking at the people, the planet, and the profits. When you do that, all of a sudden things are going to start going in a positive direction for you. And that's really how you can kind of jolt the company into a new way of thinking, a new way of doing business. You know, and it's basically our old ways aren't sustainable. We need to evolve, and that's, you know, our company evolution, which we're working with, is the bridge. So we take people from these old industrial-based business models and ways of thinking, and we bridge people, walk them through step by step through our process to get to this new business mindset where, you know, people are thriving and it's really focused in on taking care of the people and the planet and the profits. And I want to just emphasize, too, we're not at all about saying, you know, take the focus off the profits, because a company needs to be profitable to be sustainable. What we're saying is put the focus in on the people and the planet, and the profits are obviously going to be a big part of it, because it's a natural side effect or natural effect. So it's going really kind of to the root cause of taking care of the people within the organization.
Yeah. So tell me, I've heard a phrase around what you're doing, which is most amazing company quest. What is the most amazing company quest? sounds very intriguing.
Well, you know, that's the point, because we don't believe in change management. We don't believe in going into an organization and trying to fix and change. And, you know, anytime you've got that coming in, it feels heavy. It feels like, oh, gosh, not again. You know, what's going to happen now, or any sort of new certifications or whatever. So what we are all about with evolution is basically creating something next to the old model. Create something that's so fun and engaging. And we call it a quest because it's actually a game. We're using the latest trends with gamification to help companies be involved and engaged, to really work on getting a contest, basically, to get the people excited and wanting to become certified or designated as one of these amazing companies. So in our book, we feature 15 most amazing companies, and those are our model companies. They're the ones that are setting the standards and showing the way to this new way of doing business. And with evolution, basically, we're working with companies to take the next round in, to start training them and helping them to get there as well. Like I said, we're the bridge to take them there. And, you know, we've got these amazing companies that are showing the way, and the training that we do is very behavioral based. So it's a lot. I'm sure you guys talk a lot about, you know, the happiness at work and you know, bringing in a lot of that research. Well, it's showed. And what's exciting now is that this is, you know, there's at least 10 to 14 years of research showing the bottom line impact that doing this type of work can have in a company. So companies that focus on employees will have an annual return of return on investment of like 11%, whereas companies that are, you know, basically in the top 500 that don't focus in on that, their annual return over like the last 12 years has been 3%. So there's a huge difference in the companies that actually focus in on the people and the return on investment for the stakeholders. There's a lot of research that shows that it really does work.
And remind us again of some of these companies that you have in your 15 in the book.
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned, in the UK, we have Virgin and John Lewis. We have Puma.
I think that's our challenge. We have to get more than two out of the 15.
Yeah,
in the next book.
Well, exactly. You know, and we do have another book coming up, and we're definitely looking for more companies to feature, because this is really a trend we want to see growing in a huge way. We have Ben & Jerry's there. We have, I'm trying to think of companies that, you know, would be known there, but Patagonia, HCL Technologies I mentioned, Tom's is the company I mentioned, Zappos. So we just got really fantastic companies. And we even have some really small companies that people wouldn't have even heard of, but, you know, they're doing the same thing. So it's, you know, like I said, these concepts that we talk about work in really big companies, they work in really small companies, they work in different industries and different geographical locations, which was really important to us, because basically they work in any company. If you work on these concepts, you will take your company to that level.
Yeah. That's been really helpful. So what about tips to give to people today who are listening to take away? What would you say they need to be doing?
Yeah, I love to give people some ideas that they can implement right away for yourself, regardless of, you know, what your situation is, if you're a manager, leader, if you're working in a company or whatever the case might be. But three things that you can do to get more joy out of work, and that's my personal mission, is to bring joy into the world. Long story behind that. We'll take that one another time. But basically, what we can say is, the first one is to be very service-minded. When you are giving to others, it actually takes you out of, you know, a lot of the woe is me, and takes you out of, you know, always focusing in on what might your issues that you might be dealing with. And when you help others, it makes you feel good automatically. So be very service-minded at work and give to others. Second one is to really look at what's going well. Again, we come back to kind of the whole positive psychology movement, where you focus on what's going well instead of focusing on what's going wrong. And we have been conditioned in our society, in our world, to always look at the problems and look at what's going wrong. But when you start looking at what's going well and appreciating, it shifts your focus, and you start seeing more and more of what's going well. And then the last one, the third one, is to really start recognizing others for a job well done. Go out and give, you know, 3 or 4 compliments each day to your coworkers. So something that you really value that they do, that maybe, you know, you might have taken for granted, or they don't know how much you really, how much it means to you, whatever the case might be. But just start doing that, and you'll surprise your coworkers. I'm like, where is that coming from? You'll take them off guard, but, you know, you keep doing it, and it's actually going to be like, hey, well, wow, I really appreciate that. Thanks so much. So just start recognizing people and give your appreciation for what they're doing.
Yeah, that's really good advice, definitely. I've made a note of those three things. I'm off to do that next. So what about people, if they're interested in reading the book? I mean, obviously people can obviously go and do a search on Amazon or their place where they would normally buy books from, but I think you've got some extra stuff if they come to your website.
We have some great bonuses. So if you get the book from, the website is theengagebook.com. And if you order the book from there, it'll take you to the link at Amazon, and then you come back, and we've got some amazing bonuses. We've got an interview with Jean Olawang, who's the CEO for Virgin Unite, which is just full with nuggets of gold. We've got interviews with what we would call equivalent HR director. She's head of people strategy for the Virgin Group Management, with Amy Leeper. That's an interview we have there, the director of culture from Southwest Airlines. All the interviews we have there are fantastic. We have a magazine that is featuring these amazing companies as well that you'll get. So when you order from the or go to theengagebook.com, you'll be able to get the book and then put your order number in there and you'll get the bonuses and they're great. It's lots of value there.
Yeah, no, that's great. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Karen. It's been great talking to you and getting more information about your most amazing companies and your book, Engage.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's been great being here.
Excellent. So just to let you know what's coming up for next week, we have our guests are Arno Henneville of Challengera and Chantel Raflin of GE Healthcare DGS. After 10 years as management consultants specializing in change management, Arno and his co-founder spotted two problems that were both present in almost all companies. On the one hand, 90% of strategies fail due to poor execution. On the other hand, 87% of the global workforce is not fully engaged in their work. Together with Chantel Raflin, they are going to discuss the global problem and the solution that was applied by DGS. So DGS worked with Challengera and its customizable cloud-based social platform to engage 1,600-plus globally spread employees on the culture by putting DGS's core values in practice in a cost-effective, business-connected, yet fun and social way. Sounds very complicated and also very interesting. So do join us next week for the Engage Success Radio Show. Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening.